Let me tell you what's triggered some of this for me. I talked to a friend. I called her Thursday. And as soon as I called to see how she was doing, she started crying. And I thought, oh, great day. Well, I shouldn't have called. Truth is, she's gone through some real serious health issues currently, but also for the past 3 or 4 years. And just to be able to talk about it was hard. But in the midst of her crying and all kind of questions, she was so grateful for the doctors and the staff that are taking care of us. She's got, there are a lot of things she doesn't understand, but she did get it that people cared about her. And it's easy for us to take for granted. Like, I have another friend who just had his house broken into. Who do you think he called when he found out? It wasn't the homeowners association. It was the police. I mean, there are groups of people that we take for granted. I drive by a police car, and I'm just glad I'm not speeding, or I'm hoping the guy in front of me was going faster than me. There's a self-centeredness to it. So what I'd like us to do is just take a minute and be thinking about, like, first responders, our police, our doctors, nurses, staff, clinics, hospitals. Think about our military men and women that serve here and abroad. Just leave it silent for a minute. You know people that are in those spaces that are serving us. If you don't know any, pray for them in general. And then after a moment, I'll close this in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we are really fortunate. We have access to all kind of help that would really be easy for us to take for granted. We have freedoms that have been purchased and protected at great expense by men and women that serve in our military and our first responders, our police. We have access to health care and prevention that is in many ways the envy of so many other places in the world. We want to pray for those people that in many cases serve unnoticed, that are on the job constantly and available to us whenever we need it. Forgive us for when we merely whine and complain. Help us to express gratitude when we can. Help us to, when we see an ambulance or a fire truck or a police car, to remember to pray and to find ways where we can put wind in the sails of those that care for us. Thank you for the freedoms that we have. Help us to use those freedoms well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. So if you're, thank you so much. I feel like a celebrity. Look at that. And what's in the Wegmans bag? It's not wiggling, so apparently it's not alive. I did that one time. I brought an animal. It was a rabbit. I don't remember why I had the rabbit, but I did. And somehow when I bent over to get the rabbit, it jumped on my back. And so I'm like this, thinking, now what do I do? I don't want to stand up and kill the rabbit. That would, especially not in public. So I'm very careful. We actually had goats here one time, too. They were really noisy. They were terrible guests. And then we also had Hercules, a miniature horse. He wasn't so bad. The goats, we don't want them back. Anyway, I'm Rusty. I'm senior pastor here. And I'm glad you're, whether it's on campus or online, we're really glad we can be together. I want to show you a picture I took yesterday. This is, those of you that have been around for a while, there was a time where we met at Hayfield High School. For the first 16 years of New Hope's existence, we met in Fairfax County Schools. We started off at Garfield Elementary, and then we moved to Hayfield. And this is a picture of the fence at the corner of Hayfield and Telegraph, and their ball field is on the other side of this. And I pointed that out because there is a church that has a sign on that fence. And that brought back all kind of memories. I was driving through there to speak at a funeral yesterday, and on the way back, I stopped and took the picture. And the reason is because I have a distinct memory about that fence. We had been meeting at Hayfield, been there for a while. We used to do this big fall fun fest. It was a huge event. There'd be several thousand people that would come, and always had a sign on the fence. And then one day, got a call from the county, the staffers that work with school relations, and they said, "We had a complaint, and you need to take your sign down." It was an anonymous complaint, but apparently it carried a lot of weight because we were told, "You got to take your sign down. It can't have it on there." So when I saw this, it brought back all kind of memories. I would like to say that it was not an irritation. Infuriating might be a better term than irritation. It seemed so unfair because we had our sign on there, but there were other groups, soccer and softball and other stuff. We were the only one that the complaint came about. Never found out who did it. Apparently, I'm still dealing with it, so I'll have to get over that to the point where I took a picture. And anyway, the point of it is that we should expect there to be times when we get pushback because of who we are, whether it's us as a church or whether it's us individually. I'm not going to say having to take our sign down was persecution, especially when I'm thinking about people in the world that are losing their livelihoods and in some cases their lives because of their faith in Christ. But I will say there are times when we get mistreated. There's unfair standards placed on us. Jesus said this is going to happen. In the fifth chapter of Matthew, we've been looking at some of this. He was saying, "This is how I want you to live in the world. This is if you follow me, your life is going to look this way." And then he says this. He said, "God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers." So God's watching. He sees when it happens, and he's going to bless us. And then he says this, "Be happy about it." I'm still working on that one. A little bit sounds a bit like masochism to me. But then he explains why he says be happy about it. He goes, "Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way." He's not saying being happy that you're miserable. That's not the point. But recognize if you're being noticed for something that's good and you're being mistreated because you're doing what is right, that's okay. And even if no one else gets it, your Heavenly Father does. And there will be a time when history wraps up that he's going to reward that. He sees it. It will not be missed. Don't stop what you're doing right. Recognize that God will take care of you. And it's interesting here, he says too, "And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted." The ancient prophets were not persecuted by outsiders. They were persecuted by insiders. Because no one wanted to hear what they were saying. They were trying to call people to really turn and follow God, people that said they did but weren't. So persecution can come from the outside. Sometimes it can come from inside. What do they call it in the military? Friendly fire. Be aware of it. Be careful. And Jesus wants us to not be caught off guard, surprised, or shaken when these kind of things happen. Last week we dealt more deeply in this. If you missed the message, you can get that online. But today's message follows. So you're going to expect that there's going to be pushback, there's going to be difficulty, there's going to be some persecution. And so he wants to explain in this next part, so why? What's the purpose of me being here anyway? I've talked to people before. It says, "I wish Jesus come around. I'm just tired of living in this world." And it's not because, I mean, they got first world problems, but they're wanting to get out of it. God has a reason for you and me to be here. Listen to what Jesus says. Following the persecution stuff, he says this, "You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again?" The answer is no. "It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. There is a reason you and I are here. There's a reason we go through the things we go through. We don't have to know all of it. God does. But there's some things He wants us to understand that keep us strong and stable. God's intent is that you and I will be positive influences in the world for Jesus. Not just biding our time, but deliberate positive influences. And He explains what that looks like here. I want to do a shout out to a guy named William Barclay. He's a New Testament historian, and there's especially in a couple of things I'm going to mention. I'm really grateful to him for pointing out some of the history to this. Jesus used the common illustration at the time of salt and light. And when he used them, everyone understood, oh, salt's this way or light's this way. I'm going to just walk through some of this. Like salt, what he's saying is that we need to have I'm trying to think of a better word than what I put in the notes. We have an influence God wants us to have that is indispensable. It is, the world needs what we bring. And sometimes we miss that. Sometimes I think the world doesn't deserve it. No one does. We have by our attitudes and our actions, we have this influence God wants us to bring, just like salt. In that culture, as soon as people heard salt, they already knew of something that was very valuable. You and I mean, some of you are on low sodium diet, so you think salt's the enemy. And I'm like, this is not getting into all that. You wouldn't be alive if it weren't for salt. In that culture, they understood things. Salt was a very highly prized commodity. So much so that you can read about Roman soldiers that were given a salt allowance. It was either money for salt or they were given salt. If anyone ever said to you, you're worth your salt, that's what it means. You're worth what we're paying you. The word salary comes from the Latin word for salt. So if someone says you're not worth your salt, you might want to start upping your game or looking for a new gig. The idea of salt, it was a key part of the culture. There are three components to salt, and we are all pretty sure. One is it represented purity. Another is it added flavor to anything it was a part of, and was also well known as a preservative. Some of you hunters have done this. You've shot something, and you immediately need to pack it in salt if you can't get it refrigerated, and they didn't have. The refrigeration at the time Jesus said this was somewhat lacking. And so salt was a known commodity for preserving fish and meat and things like that. So let's look at these three things since he's saying we are the salt of the earth. First of all, we ought to represent purity in a God-honoring kind of way. Something that is pure, something that is untainted. And the thing is, and I use this illustration at 9 and no one shot me, but someone came to your house and have a meal and you put out a little dish of, say, kosher salt. And if you said to them before they say, the cat did some droppings in that, but it's still really good salt. They're hoping you'll throw it away. Salt that is no longer pure is absolutely worthless. And what Jesus is saying, you and I need to live in such a way, perfect, no, but progressing, yes, where people see something in us that is a reflection of Him. There ought to be something about us that gives people a glimpse of a good God, a God that is righteous and holy and true and pure. The other thing is that salt adds flavor. Wherever salt is, things are better. And so you and I, our presence and where we are at home, work, school, wherever we are, there ought to be something we add, some kind of flavor we add that is a benefit to everyone around us. I had a friend of mine that Ed loved playing golf, and he also loved putting people in awkward positions. So he would invite me to come play golf, and there'd usually be four of us. It'd be me, Ed, and two of his buddies. He would never tell any of his buddies anything about me until about the fourth hole. And this is what he'd say. Oh, by the way, Rusty's my pastor. And this is what invariably they... What did I say on number two when I lost that ball? What happened here? You know, it was like, because I'm a pastor, they're thinking maybe they offended me, but they're thinking, well, you know, I kind of let my standards down a little bit. Some of you at work, there's a difference in how decisions are made when you're around, because they know you're trying to hold to a God-honoring standard. Sometimes conversations change when you're around. It could be when you're visiting family or friends or when other places. I mean, there ought to be something, not that we're perfect and not we're judgmental or anything like that, but there ought to be something about us that would cause others to maybe rethink how they're operating, because they recognize who we follow and how we live our lives. There ought to be that sense of purity, but also flavor that changes things around us in a God-honoring way. And that's something we get to do. And it ought to come, you know, salt works pretty subtly. And it works kind of from the inside out. And so there ought to be in our relationships and all the kind of places we are something where we're bringing to bear something that would be sorely missed if we weren't. So that's the purity and the flavor that salt brings. But then there's this idea of preservative. We have a role in the world. Jesus' church, you and I as followers, have a role in the world to help protect and help provide the opportunity for people to move from lostness into being found, to be far from God, to being close to Him. If we abandon that, what's the message? We have a chance to be impact players, not because we have all the answers, but the one we follow does. It's almost in a sense we've experienced a vaccine, and now we get to spread that to others around us. We're not the answer, but we know the one that is. And that's what he's saying. You are the salt of the earth, and you have a role to play, and it's really important in your culture, in your nation, your community, your neighborhoods, all around. You have a role to play. Do it. And don't let anything get you tainted. If it does, quickly change. Don't lose your purity, or you'll be even worse than worthless. You know, there's some people around that they have no idea that you and I are followers, because we act just like everybody else. We talk just like everybody else. Part of it may be because we just want to fit in, but fitting in at the expense of honoring Jesus is not what we're called to do. We need to be salt, and we need to do it in a way that people see something that would be attractive. There's another illustration he uses, and let me read this to you later on in Matthew 5. It says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." He's gone from salt, which works subtly, to light that is designed to be visible. The purpose of light is to be seen. I've got a flashlight at home. It's one of those big ones that has 400 batteries in it. Apparently, I didn't use it for a good while. And so, have you ever seen that where the batteries, they expand and stuff comes? I don't know what the stuff is, but it comes out. You can't even get the batteries out anymore. But the light doesn't work. It's no longer a flashlight. It's a non-flash stick. It's useless. I mean, maybe if someone broke in the house, I could beat them with it, but it's not going to shed any light on anything. You and I are called to be the light of the world. We need to be visible in that. Some of us enjoy being kind of secret saints, disciples hiding in the side. God doesn't have any secret agents. He wants us to be visible. Arrogantly? Absolutely not. Visible, yes. And another thing light does, it's not only visible, but it helps give direction. So this is a picture, Katie, of the city. Some of you have driven, if you've ever driven out west and you've come up near Las Vegas, you can see it like 400 miles away. It's really bright. But at nighttime, you can see it because it's unobscured. In the time Jesus said this, that may be my mic, but if it is, don't worry about it. Remember, they didn't have street lights. The horses didn't have flashlights on their heads. They didn't have what we're used to. And so at night, it got really dark except for the stars and the moon. But you could see a city down the road when you see lights that were coming from homes, or maybe they had some outside lights. But it would say, I'm heading in the right direction. This is where I need to go. The idea of a city set on a hill is it's light and it's inviting and it's giving people direction. That's how you and I are to be. We're not supposed to be, you know, not the interrogation lamps, but we're to be lights to say, come check this out. Look at this. Here's something that will help you and guide you. And then another thing for the light is that lights warn of danger. Let's show this next one. This is a Cape Hatteras lighthouse. And the thing that lighthouses do, and mariners know this, is they know when I see the lighthouse, I know I'm getting near shore and I need to be careful. And the light will illuminate rocks and shoals and things like this. So light had a big purpose. Everyone understood it. It's to be visible. It's to give direction. But it's also something to give warning and to help others see that there's some danger ahead. Be careful. Jesus said at one time, he says, I am the light of the world. And then he says to you and me, you are the light of the world. What an awesome privilege and heavy responsibility. He has deployed you and me to be impact players in this world and to be lights that shine brightly for him. Salt can be behind the scenes. Light can't be. It has to be visible. And then Jesus says this, speaking of light, he goes, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Our light shines when we do good deeds. And the word good here, there are two words in Greek. One word for good just means intrinsically good. It's a good thing to do. This particular word is different. It means a good thing to do done in a winsome or attractive way. You know, some of us do good things, and we do it because we want a tax credit or we want to be seen. We like to have that on our social media posts because people think we're really good people. That's not what this word is. This means doing what is good and right in a humble way that is attractive, and it points people toward Jesus. I've had people at times, I was at a Roy Rogers with my daughter one time, and there was a guy there that was asking for money for food. And I just said, look, I won't give you money, but I will buy you anything on the menu you want. And this is what he started doing right there in the middle of Roy Rogers. Oh, you're a wonderful person. I mean, really loud, too. Like, I wanted to give him money just to get him to be quiet. Really loud about how wonderful I was, how great I was. And I just had to look at him right in the eye and said, no, I'm not. If it weren't for Jesus in my life, I would have probably walked right by you. If you had known me before I knew him, you wouldn't ever say anything good about me. You and I have a chance. There are opportunities all around us to do good in the name of Jesus in a way that would cause people to want to know more about him. When we do it with humility, we do it without trying to get anything out of it, when we're willing to sacrifice. So, in these few verses, Jesus said we have a responsibility to be light, to be salt in this world, individually, but also collectively, which is why I have my Wegmans bag. So, when we think about salt, we can think about our church being like a container of salt. I was going to bring a big block of salt, but I couldn't find one yesterday. So. Should I have said sugar? I can't do anything about this. Is there someone behind me messing with me? I'm going to keep going, and if you get distracted, I'm sorry. But let's think of our church collectively as a container of salt. And we are to have an impact in the world around us, like Jesus was talking about. We need to work on building purity. We need to have this idea of adding flavor to the world around us in a positive, God-honoring way, and we are a preservative. We have a chance to make a big difference. We can do that together. Then we also have another responsibility. I got these from McDonald's the other day. Individual packets of salt. Think of you as one of God's packets of salt. Your family, your extended family, your neighborhood, your school, your work, all kind of places you are. God wants you and I to represent Him just like salt, exactly where we are. And to show people something that could attract them to want to know the God that has rescued us and saved us and has deployed us as His partners. We don't get to opt out. We can't just say, well, I show up at church every once in a while with a big container of salt. I'm to be His packet everywhere I go. Light. And we can think of light a bunch of ways. I want to go back to that picture of the city, the cityscape. As a church, we ought to be like this where we are. There ought to be something about us that shines in a way that people see something that could give them help, could give them direction, could point them in the right way. We try to do that. There are all kind of projects and things we do together. And we do our best when we do it in Christ's name. Whether it's Celebrate Recovery, whether we do these feeding projects, we do community outreach, and these things, we do those to the best we can so that people know that Jesus is the reason. He's the one that inspired us to do it. But we've got more to do than that, too, than just to do things we do collectively. We need to figure out how we can do this individually. And so each of us is like one of these glow sticks. Wherever we go, we ought to be shining some light that could, it would be visible, it would give direction, but it could also be a warning and a help for people that are off track. And with these light sticks, one of the things about them, I don't know if you've ever purchased these before, but they're pretty worthless in and of themselves. Like, that doesn't really do much. For it to do anything, you've got to snap it. And it takes a little bit of work on some of these. But once you snap it, it lights. And the illustration here is pretty simple, is I need to give up life on my terms and be willing to sacrifice and care about others, even if it costs me. That's what Jesus did for you and me. He gave up His life so you and I could have freedom and forgiveness and hope and a future. He wants us to do the same thing. Anything less than that, we're not living up to what He called us to. We are to be His salt in the world, to be His light in the world. And we need to do it. We need to do it without apology, and we need to do it well. I'm going to go back to that picture from Hayfield. Katie, if you can find that. When I drove by there, there's another reason it really stood out to me. When we got called and we were told, you have to take your sign down because we're getting pushback from this one anonymous person. The lady had become a friend. I'd known her because we'd been in several schools at that point throughout Fairfax County. She goes, now you didn't hear it from me. Whenever someone says that, I really perk up. I turn off the radio and the TV. I go, all right, what did I not hear from you? She goes, you didn't hear it from me. She goes, but I know this Fall Fun Fest you guys do is a big deal. I know that you've always invited the police and they bring cars and the Dare Mobile. They have all kind of stuff and they do fingerprinting and all. I know you also bring the fire department and the police would bring helicopters, fire department would bring ladder trucks and stuff, and it was a way to promote what they were doing, but it was a way for us to be doing positive something in our community for free. And she goes, you didn't hear it from me, but if the fire chief calls the county and says that he endorses this, No one can get in his way. We called the fire chief, and next thing you know, we have a huge sign on that fence. It was a big deal. And here's the reason that that happened, is because over the years, we had been seen as a benefit in the schools we were in. When we met at Garfield Elementary, when we first got there, you know, Garfield Elementary in Springfield had 24 languages represented in that one small school. When you'd walk into the office, they'd have the word secretary on a desk in five different languages because that's just what the kids knew, and their families, many of the families at that point didn't speak English, and so they were doing their best to care for these families. Some of those families, in fact, quite a few at that point, were undocumented. They fell out of the realm of social services, and so we got called regularly. We have a family here that needs food or clothes. Can you help them? And we love the partnership we have. We've done that with every school we ever met in. We would get to know the school. We care about the staff. We would do things to support them, and we do things for families there. We're still doing that. We're going to do a backpack program coming up. There are a number of schools in our area that where families are really in desperate need, and we get to help. Because we had been seen as salt and light, we had built some goodwill, not with that one guy that didn't want our sign up, but with some other people. And that's what we get to do in this world. It's going to be a mixed thing. There'll be some times that what you have to offer is going to be seen as such a huge value, and other times it's going to be seen as a major threat. Jesus said, don't be freaked out about it. That's not the word he used. In the Greek, I think he means don't freak out about it. God has deployed you. He wants to use you, and he will. And don't worry about it. If you get mistreated, at some point, you will be rewarded. Trust me. Our world really needs to see something that is hopeful, something that is good, something that is true, and something that could impact lives now and forever. What are you and I going to do about it? Are we going to choose to be salt and light, like Jesus said? Are we going to choose to not be salt, but just be just like everybody else? And instead of light, we're just going to congregate together and hang out or just let our light dim because we don't have anything to show. It's our choice. And there's only one good one in that. Let's pray together. Father, you're so good at how you bring the truth to bear in our lives. Those of us that have committed our lives to follow Jesus, we know what it's like to be loved and forgiven and cared for and to have a purpose and to have a hope. And while that's good for us, that's not where it stops. You want us deployed. You want us active. You want us to live our new life out loud in a way that is winsome and compelling, in a way that helps others see your goodness and your purpose and what you have in store for everyone that chooses to follow you. We're in a broken world. We're part of it, but we're being healed. And in the midst of that, you want us to represent you well. So I ask that you would help us, those of us that do know you, that we would recommit ourselves to be salt and light in our spheres of influence. For some of us that have backed away, or we kind of put it off, or we've ignored you, God, forgive us and help us to turn towards you and to let you use us and to use us well. And for anyone here that doesn't yet know you, I pray that they would see in this the purposes that their Creator God has. Our lives are not just merely to tread water or just to go through time. You have us here to have an impact and to have an important one. Thank you for that. Thank you for loving us. Help us to do our homework now and to move out quickly. In Christ's name, amen.